What is up, everybody? Look, I'm so glad y'all guys are with me today. Welcome to another episode of The Controversial Christian. And I'm your host, Tanis Pritchett, and I am glad to be here. I want to apologize first and foremost that it's been so long since my last episode. It has been quite a challenge since then, just having time and having just there's been constant attacks. And funny enough, what I want to talk about tonight is something that I've been kind of going through, and in theory, I've been going through it for sure, but it's something I've had to walk through myself these past couple of weeks, four weeks, however long it's been since my last episode, which that's what happens. That's what happens when you give a testimony and expose the enemy, and you know, he comes and attacks. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to expose him even more, because I don't know, I like it. That's what I'm here to do, expose the enemy. And also to expose some of these Western church mindsets. Yes, I'm going to hit some of the controversial topics I promised tonight. And I'm really going to expose the enemy and how he's working even in our churches today here in America. So without further ado, guys, tonight's episode is titled, Shut Up. That's right, Shut Up. A radical attitude towards the voice of the enemy. Real quick, guys, I'm recording. I've got stuff to start videoing. Not the best stuff in the world, but it works. You know, hi guys, if you're watching online. Sorry, I got to look at my ugly mug, but at least I got a jawline now. Anyways, enough of that pride and vanity. So, shut up. A radical attitude towards the voice of the enemy. Now listen, guys, my goal in this episode is simply to bring an understanding of how the enemy lies so we can be aware of it and how to fight it, all right? Because I feel what we're lacking is discipleship, period. We're lacking that big time in the West, unless you buy a course. No one wants to disciple you unless you pay them, so it's kind of dumb. But anyways, we are lacking an understanding of the tactics of the enemy, right? We are lacking an understanding of how the enemy operates. We know, well, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Yeah, but what does that mean? How does he do that? What does that look like? And so that's what I want to kind of expose tonight and shine a light on some stuff with that. Now, this isn't going to be everything. There's a whole lot to learn. I am a firm believer in know your enemy. It traces all the way back to football when we go to play. Not that our other team was the enemy, unless you know you're North Hall and I'm at the Chesty, so you're the enemy, which I still don't understand, but that's the case. Anyways, knowing your enemy, knowing your opponent is important. And oftentimes we miss out on that because we want to, especially here in the West, if y'all guys are in other nations, hopefully, maybe it's not that same way. Not ragging the West. I think that we're great. We push out great evangelists. We push out great missions. I believe that God's got his hand on America even still. So I'm not saying that. I'm proud to be an American. Proud to be an American. I'm just kidding. I ain't going to sing for you tonight. Maybe another time. But we really lack the understanding and the depth of knowledge when it comes to the enemy. And it's super important. As I said, I'm a firm believer in knowing your enemy. You have to know your enemy. You have to know what you're up against. You have to know the tactics. When we played another football team, we had to know their plays. Watch how they played. Watch how they pulled, you know, what they did in hairy situations. You have to know that. I was never in war, but I have friends where I got friends that were in war. So practically, I'm a soldier, right? Isn't that how it works? Just kidding. So, but I have friends, and you have to know the enemy. You have to know. You have to study, and you have to understand their tactics and everything. And for those who have read it, The Art of War, know your enemy. You have to know your enemy. But we lack that because we just want the happy Jesus, the miracles, the blessings, the prosperity. That's all we want. That's all we want to study. That's all we want to know about. Don't tell me about hell. Don't tell me about sickness. Don't even mention in there that I'm not promised a easygoing life, because that's what I want. And that's what America Jesus is going to give me. American Jesus, blonde hair, blue-eyed, business suit with an American flag on him. Pin on his label, little thing collar here. And that's not the Jesus of the Bible. That is a false deity. And that's what we do. We worship a false deity, American Jesus. So anyways, it's important to know the enemy. So let's dive into it. And I want to start talking to y'all about Lucifer, right? Who was Lucifer? Lucifer, first of all, he is a deceiver and a liar. And that's all he can do to a believer. Let me say that again. He's a deceiver and a liar, but that's all he can do to a believer. You see, Lucifer can't force you to do anything. He can't force you to say something. He can't make you act out in a certain way. All he can do is deceive and lie. Let me explain that even more as we go into depth about that. So let's understand who Lucifer is. So Lucifer was one of three archangels. You had Michael, which is angel in charge of the Lord's armies. You have Gabriel, who's the messenger. He's always delivering messages and usually start with "Do not be afraid." So, And then you had Lucifer, who was the one in charge of worship. He was designed to worship God. Right? He said, the Bible tells us that he is, describes him as beautiful, covered in jewels. But he wanted to be worshipped. He felt he was better than God. You see, he got prideful, and then he goes around heaven whispering in the ears of the other angels, "Y'all need to worship me. I'm better. I'm beautiful. Look at me." He just whispers in the ears, "Look at me. Follow me. Don't you agree?" Well, Tannis, we don't exactly say that. Well, no, we can. Here's how me, Tannis, can tell you that that's what happened. You see, it says he took 1/3 of the angels of heaven with him. How else does he do that unless he gets in their ear and gets them to agree with him? How? By deceiving and manipulating them to believe and follow him. He gets in their ear, deceives them, manipulates them to follow him, to see it his way, to agree with him. I'm going to say that a little closer so y'all guys understand me. To see it his way and to agree with him. And because they saw it his way and agreed with him, they were then also cast out of heaven. Y'all remember that, because we're going to come back to that. That's a tactic right there. So, and then now, because all the falling angels sweat that, those are those demons running around. Blasted demons running around, you know, stuff like that, man. The big ones fight that. The fallen angels and everything. So, if you don't believe that, well, just read your Bible, because you're wrong. Not sorry. So, anyways. So how did he do that? Again, by deceiving and manipulating them to believe and follow him. Now let me ask you something. Does that behavior sound familiar? Yeah, we're starting to get to the meat of this thing right here. Maybe someone, or maybe even you, did this when you felt someone wronged you. And now you're ticked and you want others to see it from your side. Oh, just exposed you. And listen, I'm not pointing fingers, throwing shade, none of that. I've done it myself. I found myself doing that, being ticked off, and now I want everyone to see it from my side and believe me. And so I go around whispering in other people's ears, "They treated me this way. Have they ever done it to you? Yeah, they have. Yeah, we should do something about that. Hey, they did this to me. We should do something about that." Right? That's deceptive. That's a tactic of the enemy. And listen, you know you did it. You know you've done that. Maybe as a kid. I did it too, but I was younger. When I was young and immature. But here's my problem with this today, guys. I see this done today in the workplace. I saw a lot in the workplace, and it bothered me to the point to where I've almost gotten in a fight with a guy at work because he was doing this, and I caught him. And again, young and immature, early 20s, and I was ready to fight this dude. I didn't care about my job or anything. I was ready to fight this guy over it because it was deceptive and it was dishonest. But I didn't. I didn't. So, you know, I'm good. I did my best. But here's the worst, guys. I see this a lot in the church today. Yes, I see this a lot in the church, in the body of Christ. Believers being upset that somebody overlooked them. And I know if y'all guys are listening, you don't see that, but I'm throwing up finger quotes. Overlooked them. And now they want to go and tarnish this person's reputation because they got their feelings hurt. That's a tactic of the enemy. Christians, saints, believers, that is a tactic of the enemy. And we are so ignorant to these tactics. We're so ignorant to them. Now listen, if you're from the South, I said ignorant, not ignorant. Ignorance is an insult. Ignorant is not. Okay? Just clear that up for y'all guys. But we are so ignorant to these tactics because we are not taught or trained to know them. And some of us are just, be honest with you, too lazy to read our word and study our word. Man, that's a whole nother sermon, though. That's a whole nother episode. Man. But that's where we're at, guys. So anyways, let's reel it back to what I was talking about. So the enemy, what did he do? He whispers in the ears and gets you to agree and believe with him. Right. Right. So that's what the enemy does with us. You see, he cannot force you to do something. He cannot force you to write that tweet or whatever it is, to send that email, to write that text message. He can't force you to look up porn on the phone. He can't force you to cheat on your wife, to walk out on your spouse, to cheat on your husband. He can't force you to lie about that pastor, to lie about that leader. He can't force you to do those things. But what he can do is get in your ear and whisper, and your wife's never here. She doesn't have time for you. It's just a video. You're not really cheating. Oh, it's innocent. It's just this one time. It's just this one time. And then we receive it, and we come into agreement with it, and now we've opened the door. And now it's like I'm going to say this now. I heard this today. I was listening to a video from Vlad. I'm not going to try and say his last name because I can't. But his name is Vlad, so I want to give him credit and honor because he has a lot of good teaching on this. Look him up. A lot of good teaching on strongholds, the enemy, and stuff like that. And he has a sermon called Shake Off the Snake. And that's what I was listening to today. So I want to just throw that out there and let y'all guys know that I heard this from him and everything. So He was teaching that when you come into agreement, you're opening the door, and then you open the door to those demonic spirits to come in. You see, they cannot come in unless the door is open for them. And then you're opening the door by coming into agreement and allowing that junk in your mind, allowing that in your spirit, in your heart, by coming into agreement with it. And then what happens? So let's stick with what we're talking about, looking at things you shouldn't on the internet. I know there's a younger audience that listens to this, so I'm going to try to keep it as PG as I can. But guys, it's real regardless. It's real life. And y'all are hearing worse at school than this. So it's just one time. Just look at it. Just watch it. It's okay. And they say, notice you feel yourself craving it. And you feel like you need it. Why? Because you open those doors for those spirits to enter in, to come in, and to just, you know, take up home residence in your flesh, right? And now you're feeding your flesh rather than feeding your spirit, and your flesh is becoming stronger, 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 when your flesh should be your slave and be crucified daily. So that's how that happens. That's how that works. That's a tactic of the enemy. Believers, Christians, children of God, they can't force you to do anything, but what he does is he whispers in your ear, and he convinces you, or you choose to, well, ultimately you choose to, it's your choice. I mean, let's not, you know, lie about it. Let's not make it somebody else's fault and put the blame and not take responsibility. It's our choice. We make the choice, right? We make the choice to do that sin. We make the choice to send that email. We make the choice to look that up on the phone, on the internet. We make a choice to send that message to that girl or that boy. I gotta quit focusing like it's just men that do this, because it's not just men that do this. Women do this all the time as well. Women, you're not innocent. Let's stop playing innocent, okay? men and women, the enemy doesn't force you to send that message to that guy, to that girl. All he can do is get in your ear and whisper. Your husband's busy. He's never home. He's never home. He doesn't give you the attention you need. You deserve attention. You deserve someone to treat you like you're queen of the world. You deserve it. That man over there, he can give you that. He's giving you attention. Look. Oh, he said you look cute. He said you look cute. You need to pursue that. You should pursue that. Shouldn't you? Don't you agree? You deserve that? And then you come into agreement with it. Next thing you notice, you're cheating on your husband. Next thing you notice, you're listening to the enemy. That girl, she's crazy about you. Your wife, she doesn't have time for you. She's always busy with the kids. She's always giving them attention. She's putting their needs above your needs. She doesn't take care of you. She doesn't keep the house clean. But that girl over there, yeah, she'll do exactly what you want to do. Don't you think? I mean, don't you agree? You deserve that. You deserve that, right? And then you do. And you think you do. And you accept that. And you come into agreement with it. And now, the door's been opened. And that spirit of lust moves in. That spirit of fornication moves in. Or, let's do this one. This is not a common one, but hopefully it can resonate. Hopefully not, but it'll resonate with some of y'all. Listen, it's just a little white lie. IRS isn't going to know about it. Just lie. Don't claim those dinners you took with your family, your vacation you took with your family. Claim it on your taxes. It's okay. They ain't got to know. Didn't you mention? You mentioned business, didn't you? You talked about it with that guy while you're sitting there on the beach, right? It's a business trip. There you go. Claim it on your taxes. There you go. Write it off. Yeah. Oh, don't claim that though. Don't even mention that. No. No. Listen, you don't have to do that. Don't claim. I mean, right? Why would you need to do that? That's just extra stuff. That's an extra headache. It's not that big of a deal. And then you believe it and you accept it. And now you've accepted it and made it your truth, I guess you can say. Right? You've accepted it. And now you've opened that door. And it gets easier and easier to lie, easier to cheat, easier to keep doing this thing that you know is wrong. Because you open the door. And that's how the enemy works, my friends. That's how he works. That's how he's worked since the beginning of time. Gets in your ear and whispers. And gets you to come into agreement. And accept it. I mean, let's look at the garden. Now, if y'all guys are watching, I got my phone with me. So I'm going to look this up real quick. Because I wasn't really planning on going here, but let's see. So that's what happens in Genesis 3, right? So, let's go here. That's fine. So Genesis 3, what happens is Satan, the serpent, she shows up, whatever. And he doesn't force Eve to bite the apple. He doesn't threaten her to bite the apple. He simply asks, did God really say you die if you ate this? I mean, did he? She goes, well, I mean, surely you won't die, right? And what he does is he gets her to come into agreement with him to accept what he said over what God said. And then, boom, eats the apple and sin enters the world. Adam, what a man. He just goes and eats it anyways, too, knowing that it was wrong. So, that's how that happened. That's how sin entered the world. Through a deception, through a lie, through a smooth tongue. Because that's all he can do. That's all he can do. That's all the demons can do. Is lie to you. Whisper in your ear, right? That's why the Bible tells us to take every thought captive because you need to, one, you need to know the word. So here's some steps, guys. Stay in your word. Stay in your word. Read it, eat it daily. Stay in it. Why? So that way you know what the word says. So when those lies come and the enemy whispers in your ear, you can say, no, that's not. As according to God's word, it says this. It says that I should love just my wife. And, you know, adultery is a sin. And that would be adultery. And I'm not going to do that. That's lying. I'm not going to lie and cheat on my taxes. Thou shalt not lie is what the word says. God hates a lying tongue. And so I'm not going to do that. But instead, what we do is we allow the enemy to whisper. We don't take the thoughts captive, because what can we owe them to? We don't even read our word. I mean, let's just call it what it is. We're lazy. We don't read our word. We expect some man from a pulpit to feed us every week, and then we wonder why we're starving halfway through the week because we can't feed ourselves. If you've been a Christian longer than 5 years, shame on you. You should be in your word daily. You are not a baby no more. And I say this with love and hope that it encourages you to step up and read your word. If you're a husband, you are the priest of your home. Read your word and read it to your children and lead your family. All right, husbands, you can't blame someone else if your family's falling apart. You're the head of the household. Step up and take your place. That's what we need to do. So anyways, let me get back to it, guys. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place tonight. I don't mean to be. I don't want to go on too long. We're going about 20 minutes-ish, something like that. Right here, I want to hit on this topic again, guys. So what happens is, even in the church today, even the church in the West, guys, we are so bad about tearing each other down, right? Because we are a one-liner, one-tweet, get-a-lot-of-likes nation. That's what we are in the West. We thrive off of likes. We thrive off of shares. We thrive off of interaction. We want people to agree with us rather than just speaking truth. And if they agree, cool. If they don't, they don't. And that's what we've become, man. We've all become lustful for recognition, a glutton for recognition. And because of that, we've become liars. We've become dishonest and just very unbiblical Christians. That's what we become, guys, and that's what I'm here to challenge. So I will do that, and that's why I share this with y'all, guys. Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things the Lord hates and seven that are detestable: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness, and someone who stirs up conflict among brothers. And what I see happening is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of the seven things are happening constantly in the church these days. One of those five, well, I'll share them with you. The five are a lying tongue. We lie about each other. We feel offended, overlooked. Here's the quotes again. Pushed aside, more quotes, and we feel like no one sees us in our potential. So we get mad and we go around and start bad-mouthing the pastor. We start bad-mouthing the leaders of the church we're at. Because they don't know anything. What do they know? They've overlooked you before? Yeah, they've overlooked me too. Something's got to be done about that. And you just go around spreading lies and hate and spewing hate and causing division. Yeah, you're a lying tongue and a heart that devises wicked schemes, because that's a wicked scheme there. Your feet that are quick to rush into evil. You're a false witness against your brother, against your pastor, against your leaders. And you are someone who stirs up conflict among brothers. And can I be honest with y'all, guys? I get it. As Christians, we want to love each other and stuff like that. But if somebody's doing that out of love, will you just call them a son of Satan and tell them to stop? Because that's exactly what they're being. A son of Satan or a daughter of Satan, whatever. It's the same difference. And that's very demonic. That's divisive. That's not biblical. That's not what we're called to do, guys. That is totally opposite of what God wanted us, what his design was. That's totally opposite of what Jesus prayed for us to have when he prayed in the garden, that we would be unified and one as he was one with the Father. We would be one with each other and be one together, guys. That's what Jesus prayed for, earnestly prayed for us. And we screw it up because someone hurt our feelings. Now, it's one thing to have theological differences and theological debates. That's fine. Have your debate. Have it in a civil way. But our problem today, guys, is everything is out in the public and done in a way that you're going to have all of these other people that are hurt too come together and cause a, I'm going to say a mutiny. We'll solve it that way. Cause an uprising. And now what happens is there's one slip up. One thing goes wrong and the whole world knows and turns on that church, that pastor, because he was human and had a moment of weakness. He's human, right? I think part of the reason we do this is because we hold leaders and pastors. Well, I get it. If you're a pastor and a leader, you are held at a higher standard. You just are. That's the way it is. That's what it's always going to be. You have a calling on your life. You're stepping in that calling, but you have a heavier weight because you're responsible for those under you. However, for those of us that are under pastors, we should not hold that pastor at such a pedestal that one small slip and we're all just devastated. Can I be honest with you guys? When I hear of a fall, it doesn't shock me. It doesn't hurt me. I don't sit there and think, oh God, how could they do that? I sit there and think, wow, well, they slipped. They had an open door and they didn't close it and they did not have their guard up. Lord, I pray they repent and they turn from it. And Lord, I pray you restore them to the glory you had them at so they can continue in doing the calling you called them to do. And here's something. I want to give some encouragement for those that have been in the fall or those who are feeling like they're less than because they are struggling, whatever. Listen, you... how to say this and not sugarcoat or give an excuse or anything like that, because I'm not trying to do that at all. My leaders and my pastors, you are 110% held at a higher standard. If you cannot go without whatever that vice is that's holding you back, then do yourself and your family a favor and step down. If for a season, if you don't feel like you need to give it up, step down. All right? There is other ways to serve, and just because you can be a pastor and not be behind a pulpit, all right? You can pastor your coworkers, you can pastor through programs like that, the community. You can pastor so many ways. You don't have to be behind the pulpit, all right, to pastor. I know that we think that I need to be the pastor, I need to be behind the pulpit, I need to have the microphone. No, that's not the case. Golly, I wish people would understand this. That's an episode coming up, though. The true weight of a pastor, of a minister. That's coming up. Y'all pray for them. Pray for us. Lord, help us. But if you have fallen, I want to encourage you and tell you that it is not the end. You will have people that might not trust you anymore. And that's honestly something that they've got to get through. But if you are truly repentant and you give up whatever that was that caused you to fall, whatever the fall was, you repent of it. You repent to your family. You repent to the Lord. You repent to your congregation. And you mean it earnestly. And you take the necessary steps, the counseling, whatever it takes to overcome that. Then I say to you, your assignment is not done. Be courageous. Have faith. And step into what God's called you to. It might look different. You might not be behind the pulpit again. But you might be on a podcast. You might start a podcast. That's available now. Start a podcast. I did. You know, if I can do it, you can do it, right? I'm not even that great at it. But hey, I do my best. I do it because I feel like the Lord's called me to do it. And I do it because I love it. I use that word love loosely. I love my family. I like it a lot. I enjoy it. But it might look different. You might, instead of being a pastor over a congregation, you might be stepping into a mentorship. And, well, aren't they disqualified from mentoring? No, if anything, they're more qualified because they've now walked through something very difficult. So I want to encourage you to don't give up. Don't quit. Take the steps. Get better. Come back stronger. And whatever that looks like. So, but yeah. Yeah. Sorry, get back on talking. No. So we hold these leaders at such a high standard and on a pedestal, and a pedestal so small that one slight move, they're falling, guys. And we got to understand that they're human. And that's one thing we understand each other. We're all human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to upset one another. We're going to overlook you. You're going to get overlooked. I'm a youth pastor. Let me tell you why I mentioned the overlook thing, because I felt in my heart that I was overlooked the majority of my life. I knew the calling that God had for me. I knew it was what He's called me to do. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's what my assignment was. This is what I'm called to do. And I felt like anytime the opportunity came up, I was overlooked. Anytime the opportunity came up, I was pushed aside. I wasn't even considered. And I got so bitter and so angry about it. But I didn't go around bad-mouthing people. I didn't go around bearing a false witness or stirring up conflict among brothers. You know, actually, yes, some of it had to do with worship. And I sat down with the worship pastors and I told them how I felt. And they explained to me, like, hey, man, no one overlooks you and everything like that. We see you. We need you here. We want you here. And that just makes me feel good because I'm like, oh, I'm wanted. Okay. But, you know, instead of being bitter and angry, what I did in those situations, and this is what I encourage you to do if you feel like you're being overlooked, is I stepped up to them. I said, hey, what can I do to help? Because if I couldn't be the person to be the pastor as I felt like I knew I was called to be, or be that leader who was called to be, then you know what? I'm going to help them be the best they can be. Whether that's an ear for them to vent to, whether that is someone to show up early and set things up, stay late and break things down, clean up, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be that person to show up. And I'm going to take that energy I would put into being bitter and angry and hurt and everything and put that into serving. Not for them, but serving the Lord. And what I had to come realize was if I'm not put in this position, then God hasn't put me in that position. Because I don't want man to put me in that position. And let me tell you something, young minister, young evangelist, young youth pastor, if you know you're called to be a pastor, wait for God to promote you into that position. He will. Don't do it sooner, because I promise you, you don't want to be put in that position before you're ready. And if you're not, and you're not put in that position, you feel like you've been overlooked and picked over again, go to the Lord. Ask the Lord, what are you missing? And listen and do what He tells you to do. And also show up and serve. All right? Serve. Volunteer to scrub toilets. You want to be humbled? It's not even that humbling. I mean, picking up trash probably more humbling than scrubbing toilets. Scrubbing toilets is peaceful. I'll be honest with you guys. You need to go do it. Clean the bathrooms. Take pride in that. Like, I know it sounds weird to say take pride, and we're talking about the enemy being prideful. But take pride in that. Take pride in the bathrooms. Them bathrooms are going to be clean. Those napkins are going to be restocked. That toilet paper is going to restock. That bathroom is going to be so clean. That toilet, you're going to be able to eat off of it. I wouldn't, but you're going to be able to because I'm going to clean it so well. That youth room is going to be so clean. Pastor, you ain't got to worry about it because before we leave, I'm going to have the trash taken out. I'm going to have this place swept. I'm going to have it mopped. I'm going to have these chairs back in order. I'm going to have the stage clean. I'm going to have everything taken care of for you to help you out so you can focus on being a pastor and a leader for these teenagers. Senior pastor, you tell me what you need me to do. I'll show up early on Sundays. I'll get the coffee going. I'll do, what do you need me to do? You tell me what you need me to do. And I encourage y'all guys to do this. Have this conversation with your pastor, with your leaders. What do you need me to do? And then serve faithfully. And do what you say you're going to do. All right? Because that means a lot. So I want to circle back real quick and talk more about the enemy and his tactics, right? So I want to nail this again. The enemy cannot force you to do anything. He does not force you to do anything. All he does is get you to agree with him and come into agreement. And in coming into agreement, you're opening that door, allowing him in. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there, there's a lot of people on my Facebook that says Christians can't be demonically possessed. And you might be true, you might not be true. There's a spirit that cannot take house in our spirit, but when it comes to our flesh, when it comes to our mind, I believe there's open doors there. Why? Because we open them. All right? It can happen. So, I mean, let's be honest, the word possession and oppression aren't really in the Greek and Hebrew anyway. So whatever your argument is, your argument with words aren't even in the Bible. So let's just stop and accept it for what it is, man. It can happen. And I think that's also a problem with us here in the West, is we want to nitpick and fight over everything. First of all, son of Satan, shut your mouth. Stop fighting over and bickering over stupid stuff that has no point and doesn't bring any value to the kingdom. You're seriously a divisive tongue and you're a fool. And I say that with love and hope that you would change. And get right, man. Let's stop arguing over stupid stuff, dude. Ugh. But when you come into agreement, sorry, getting back, guys. I have so many bunny trails tonight. I just need more Red Bull. I'm just joking. I need it. And so you come into agreement with the enemy. You open that door and you allow that spirit in. How? How do I know that happens? Well, because when you did it the first time, it was really rough, but you agreed to it. You came to agreement, and now it becomes easier. Notice this. Notice this. Pray to the Lord it doesn't happen, because I pray that you don't ever fall into this temptation again. But when it does, you notice it becomes easier to be offended. It becomes easier to look at pornography. It becomes easier to cheat on your taxes. It becomes easier to spread lies. And when you spread them so much and so good, you start believing them. And they are true to you. Though they're lies, it becomes easier. Why? Because you've opened the door and allowed that spirit to move in. And now you're believing it and you're coming into agreement with it. So what do I do, Tannis? Pastor Tannis, what do? I hear what you're saying. I see what you're saying. And now I see this tactic of the enemy. What do I do? How do I stop it? Well, let me start off by saying this. If you're a Christian and you're saved, and you've given your heart to Christ, you're living for the Lord, that does not mean all of a sudden temptation goes away. So you're always going to be battling temptation until we are in glory with the Lord in heaven, out of this earth's bodysuit. And in heaven, you're going to be battling temptation. Why? Because of our flesh. Our flesh needs to be sacrificed daily. Why? Because our flesh rises up with us in the morning and wants what it wants. And you have to discipline it. That's something you have to do. All right? Holy Spirit is going to come in and be like, okay, bibbidi bobbidi boop. Now you're disciplined. No, that's something you have to do. You have a part to play in this, okay? You have to. Temptation is going to be there, and you have to make a choice whether to come into agreement with that temptation or whether to rebuke that temptation, bind those thoughts, and cast them out as the Word tells us to. So what do I do? Well, I'm not one to give 12 steps on how to overcome something like that. I'm going to give 3. So step 1, admit that you need help. Pray and seek the Lord. Be in the Word and make time. Discipline yourself. That's what I'm trying to get to. Step 1 is start disciplining yourself. How? Wake up an hour early and spend time with the Lord and pray. We have to pray, people. We have to pray. It is important. You have to pray. There's nothing around it. Jesus prayed. Moses prayed. All right. David prayed. All right. Paul prayed. Peter prayed. Disciples prayed. They all prayed. You have to pray. It's the only way to receive from the Lord is to pray. You have to go into the presence of the Lord, seek Him, press in, and pray. You have to pray. And I'm sorry, but this little, hey, Lord, bless my day. That's good. Not saying that's wrong. Nothing wrong with that. I get that. But listen, sometimes you got to battle. You have to battle, right? And that's step 2. Know your Word, because your Word is your sword. Your Word is your sword. The Bible, the Word of God, is our sword. And that's how we fight the enemy, is with the Word. That's how Jesus did it. right? 40 days, and the devil came and tempted me. How did he respond? It is written. You have to read the word. All right? Step 3. So let's recap real quick. Discipline. Make time. If you say, I don't have time, it's like, get rid of something. Because I promise you, whatever that is not more important than your walk with Christ, than your spirit, than your family. It's not more important than that. And you got to have a radical mindset. You have to have a radical attitude towards this, guys. It's got to be radical. I'm going to give up sleep. I'm going to give up sleep so that way I can get prayer in and spend time with the Lord. I'm going to start my day in prayer and in His Word. I'm going to start my day. I'm going to eat what I can in the morning. And then I'm going to pray without ceasing throughout the day. All right? Step 2, pray. You have to pray. Bible says to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean the whole day you're speaking in tongues or you're praise the Lord, oh, Lord Jesus, whatever. You know, not that, but like you pray without ceasing, right? Well, I'll tell you how I do that. I'm always internally, so in like my inner monologue is like that, you know, which some people don't have, that's weird. I'm praying in the spirit. Always, man. And my breath, and I'm praying out loud while I'm driving. I'm always in communication with God, communing with God. I'm listening. I've got my notes staying ready to hit and record if I feel the Lord speaking to me. And so we've got discipline yourself by reading your word and everything. Spend time with God, putting prioritizing Him first. Praying. And then, let's see, what was the third one I had? Sorry, gotta look up my notes. Yes. Discipleship. I'll say that. I had some other stuff written down. I was reading it real quick. Discipleship. All right. We need to be discipled, and we need to be discipling others. Okay. So I had a friend who told me this way. Shout out to Doug Cole, Because Coffee. If y'all guys know about Because Coffee, look them up. I'm not paid for this endorsement. If they want to give me free coffee, though, I'll take it. Because Coffee in Dawsonville, look him up, because.coffee. Doug Cole is the most bombest dude in the world, the coolest guy, and he looks like John Foreman from Switchfoot. So there's that. Sweetest, coolest dude. And he told me this. He says, you need, for real, like you need three people in your life. You need somebody who's older, who's where you want to go, who can teach you. You need somebody where you're at, who hold each other accountable and grow together. And then you need somebody younger. Younger to pour into and teach and pull along, right? So we need... I just saw something move behind my camera. I was like, y'all about to say, oh, we're about to see me cast the spirit out. You need that older person, that mentor. You need that disciple buddy, someone that's holding accountable, your brother in Christ, someone that's with you, walking through it with you. And then you need that younger person that you're discipling, you're mentoring and everything. You need those three things, right? And so as a husband, I've got my pastor. I've got some fathers in the spirit, in the faith that I go to for mentorship. All right, I've got some friends, some other pastor, youth pastor friends that are my buddies that we're walking through this thing. And sometimes it's like this. It's not always like this. Sometimes it's like this. Hey, man, I got this. Oh, cool. Hey, man, I got this. Oh, cool. We're lifting and encouraging, lifting each other up, you know. Also, for me, that's my wife, right? Although I feel like she's way far superior than me in this stuff. But my wife, I am taking her. I am pulling her. We're going through this together. We're going through parenthood. We're going through marriage relationships. We're going through mentorship. We're going through ministry together. We're bound together through marriage, but we're also spiritually tied together because we are accountable to each other. And then I have my kids. I have my children who I am mentoring and raising up. I have the teenagers that I'm pouring into through my ministry. And I also have younger people at work that I'm pouring into and stuff like that. So, be a student, be a friend, be a mentor. So that's what I mean by discipleship, all right? You got to have that. So, and keep your head, if I say keep your head on the swivel, if you are disciplining yourself, staying disciplined, something you have to do. Again, you have to do it. God's not going to come down and put your pants on for you. You got to get up, put your pants on one leg at a time, and then you got to go to work. You got to do what you got to do. You have to read your word. God will honor what you're doing, but he cannot honor idle hands. He cannot move with idle hands, right? And he cannot honor disobedience. And he cannot honor sin. So we are, as our mantra, I'll say mantra, not the word, for Kaneo, Kaneo Ministry Training, out of Christ Fellowship Church in Dawsonville. Another shout out. What? Kaneo, Kaneo MTC. Check it out. Look them up. They have on-demand classes, and they have classes. I think they have a pre-registration starting in May. So check it out. Awesome ministry school. I've had people who have gone through seminary doctorates, and they go through there and like, we've never even learned this stuff. So it is amazing. Kaneo MTC. K-I-N-E-O MTC. Look it up. Google it. Start classes. You are the steward of your own edification. You are the steward of your own edification. We are the stewards of that. We have to steward that. How do we steward that? By disciplining ourselves, by making time. Like I said, getting rid of things, man. If something's in your life and you know it needs to go, get rid of it. Be disciplined. Stay in your word. Eat in the morning. Let him eat. Eat in the morning. Why in the morning? Because as we talked before on this before, you know, resist the devil and you shall flee. That resist comes from that word, always get this, man, where we get our word antihistamine from. Antihistamine, I think it was called in the Greek. Antihistamine, that's what you take in order to battle allergies, but you got to take them before you go out there, outside, where the allergies are coming to attack you like kamikaze pilots. Hope it's okay that I said that. That's what they were. And how are you going to make of that when you go outside? The pollen's coming at you like kamikaze pilots. Ah! And so, Lord help us. But you have to take that before you go out there. Well, same thing, man. Eat your word. Be in your word. Be in prayer. Be in the presence of the Lord first thing in the morning, guys. Get up early enough so that way you have that time uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. Make the time. Make the be disciplined. Someone's riding their four-wheeler. Y'all might hear it as they go by. I live out in the sticks. Pray without ceasing. Constantly pray. Be in prayer. Go to the Lord with all your problems. You know, if you're feeling overlooked, you're feeling like that, don't talk about it, because when you open your mouth, you're speaking it. And one thing Vlad said today, he says, you know, it's hard to catch a fish who's got a closed mouth. All right? What do? We had the lure on there, and the idea is to get the fish to open its mouth, and then you got them hooked, right? They open their mouth, and boom, you got them hooked. You open the mouth, and then they're hooked. We open our mouths, and then Satan's got us hooked. We speak. We confess things. Kenneth Hagin says, you make confession. You're always making confession, but you're either making positive godly confession or you're making bad demonic confession. You're always making confession. Always. Always. It's just, is it positive or negative confession? And a lot of it's negative. So, you open your mouth, and Satan's like, yeah, just, don't you agree? Don't you agree? He's ready to set that hook, man. Bow, get you. Yeah, I do a girl. Like SpongeBob. Yeah, that's right. SpongeBob spiritual. Playing on the Mr. Krabs told him, get off the hooks, boys. But no, they didn't want to listen. Bah. Can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I will do it, Miller. You know, Patrick's like, dumb old Mr. Krabs, don't know nothing. But, you know. And what happened? Got his pants ripped off. But no, that's what we do. We play with it. We agree with it. And then boom, we're hooked. So be in prayer. Be in prayer. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention armor of God. Put the armor of God on. But as Dr. Roberts Lairdon taught us in year 3 of Kaneo. Kaneo, NTC, what? Don't ever take the armor off. Put the armor on. Don't take it off. Never. Never put your guard down with the enemy. He's running, he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. As soon as you put that armor off, the demons are like, get him! And they're jumping on you. They're kicking you, they're curb stomping you. Like an office space in the computer, they're curb stomping you. Oh, terrible, terrible. And that's what's happening, man. Keep the armor on. Don't take it off. You know, one more thing that Vlad said, he was teaching, he said, you know, as Christians, we think that we treat life like we're on vacation, like it's Disney vacation, like we're going to the beach of Florida. But reality, Christianity is like the beach of Normandy. It's tough. We're in constant battle. And like I said, as soon as you let your guard down, the enemy is right there waiting to pounce on you and attack. Be vigilant. Surround yourself with other warriors. And be ready. So my three steps again, guys. Be disciplined. Discipline yourself by reading your word, making time, setting God's priority, being in the presence of the Lord. First thing, make him a priority. Be disciplined. Say no to that stuff. Whatever it is, if there's a vice and there's something that causes you to trip, say no. Be disciplined. Two, be in prayer, constantly in prayer, constantly praying. Pray for God to show you who you can speak to that day. Pray for God to show you places in your life that need to be addressed, wounds that need to be scraped and clean. And disciple. Be discipled and be a discipler. Have that person that mentors you. Have that brother that's, well, if you're boy, brother, if you're a woman, sister, unless you're married, then have your spouse that you're walking through it with together. And listen, married folk, that'll bring y'all so much closer. I promise you, everything in your marriage is going to get better. Everything. If you're watching on YouTube, you saw me wink. If you didn't, wink. Everything's going to get better, okay? Now, the enemy's going to try and come between y'all, but that's what you got to pull together. Stay together. Link arms. Lock. Link your arms. Link your shields. Fight together. Not against each other. For each other, okay? So find that person to mentor you, find that person that you're going through it with, and then find that person that you can then turn around and mentor. And that's your kids, that's younger generation, somebody like that, right? Those three things. Listen, I love you guys. That's all I got for today. That's it. That's it. We've been about 50 minutes, so hey, right on an hour, cool. Let me pray for you guys before we go, okay? Let me pray for you, okay? Father God, I thank you first and foremost for just who you are, Father, and for what you allow us to do, God, in this life, Lord. This life is not boring. It is fun. It's an adventure, God. And I thank you so much that we get to do this together, Lord. Not by ourselves, never alone, but with you, with us, your Holy Spirit with us the whole time. Thank you, God. What an adventure. Father, I thank you that your word exposes the enemy and his tactics. You are very tactical and very descriptive in how you describe the enemy's tactics, so that way we will know, Lord. Thank you that Holy Spirit walks with us to shine light on the snares the enemy sets. We just have to be obedient and listen, God. I thank you, Lord, that when we seek you, you are found. You never hide from us, Father. You are there. And we can come to you with all things, good, bad, and in between, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you love us, Lord. Lord, I pray for my listeners right now, Father, that you would begin to move in their life. Holy Spirit, move in their life. And show them where they are missing it. Show them where they are doing good. And show them, Lord, if they have accepted the lies of the enemy and come into agreement with. Yes, Lord, we will address that. Yes, in just a second. Yes. So, Father, I thank you for that. I pray over my listeners that you would just show out and show up in their life, Father. Bless them abundantly, Father. Bless them spiritually, Lord. Bless them physically, God. Bless them mentally, Lord. Bless them financially, God. And bless them that they may be a blessing to those around them, Father. But I pray, Lord, that the blessing, the biggest blessing they get, God, is finding you, Lord, and knowing you and a relationship with you, Father. It's not a set of rules. It's a relationship, God. And we just want to give ourselves to you. Father, I thank you. Yes, Lord, thank you. For the one that's listening that says, I can't seem to stop. Yeah, let's do it now. Father, listen, guys, let's pray this, okay? If this is you, repeat after me. Father, right now, I acknowledge where I came into agreement with the enemy. I acknowledge where I accepted the lie of the enemy and made it my own. Father, for that, I repent. I repent for coming into agreement and accepting what the enemy said. Lord, I rebuke the enemy right now, or rebuke the devourer. In the name of Jesus,
I plead the blood of Jesus over my heart, my mind, my spirit, my body. And I right now close that door the enemy came through. And Father, I rebuke all lies spoken and all wrongdoing that was done, Father. And I pray that anything that I've done, Lord, I repent for, or everything I've done. And Father, I pray that you would take these crooked things and make them straight, God, and correct them, Father. Show me if I need to say and repent to anybody else who I need to do that to. Father, I love you and I thank you. And I come out of agreement with the enemy. I come out of agreement with every lie. I come out of agreement with every assignment the enemy has put in my life. I release it and I hold on to you, God. I grab you by the hem of your garment, Father. And I repent. And I plead the blood of Jesus over me, over my family, and over my loved ones. The enemy has no place and has to leave right now. Command him to leave, to let go, and to get lost. And go to my neighbor's house. Just kidding, not your neighbor's house. But go back to hell where they came. Get out of my house. Right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you do for us, God, and what you have done through to us, Lord, for us, God. Lord, have your way in our lives, Lord. We give it all to you. And we acknowledge you, Lord, as our leader, as our Father, as our God. You are our God. We love you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen, guys. I love y'all. Listen, we beat an hour. We didn't get an hour. Ha ha. Y'all guys be good. I will talk to y'all next time. And I look forward to having this conversation again. Until then, be a little controversial. It's fun.